Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelations. Revelation chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. And we are going to skip around an awful lot in chapter 2 and chapter 3. I'll read verse 7 and direct you to the next verse that we'll read together. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7 to begin. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Go down to chapter 2, verse number 11. We'll read this one together. Chapter 2, verse 11. You ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I'll read verse number 17 in the same chapter there. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Same chapter, verse number 29, the very last verse of chapter 2. Let's read that together aloud. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, chapter 3, verse number 6, I'll read. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Go to verse 13 of chapter 3. We'll read this verse together. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then also verse 22 of chapter 3. We'll read that one together and finish for the evening. Ready? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us in this place. Lord, it sure is good to be here. I can't imagine what the world sees pleasure in. Tens of thousands of people screaming and hollering in the stadium over people playing a game. And I'm sure glad I'm in church tonight. Thank you for that. And I'm so glad that your presence is here. Now, Father, please give us your presence tonight. May we hear from the man of God what you would have for us from heaven tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I told you this morning that the title of my sermon tonight was A Christian's Hearing Aids. And I'm going to talk to you about that very subject. You earlier, with Brother Bush's help, read verse after verse after verse from the book of Revelation. Those verses were identical in a portion of their text. Said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Over and over again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. I'm going to ask you to do you a favor. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to do God a favor. I'm going to ask you to do the church a favor tonight. We're going to pray again here in the middle of this sermon, or here at the beginning of it. Well, I'll ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask that I lead you in a prayer. Now, I'll pray out loud, but I wish you would pray silently and mean the prayer we're about to pray. You'll understand why. Let me explain. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you're going to yield your ears to the Holy Spirit while I preach. So, I'm going to ask you to ask God's Holy Spirit to use your ears to hear right while He uses my voice to speak right. You see, there's two parts to the Holy Spirit working in this congregation tonight. My voice, your ears. If my voice is surrendered to the Spirit of God, then I've done my part. If your ears are surrendered to the Spirit of God, then you've done your part. If one of the two of us have not done our part, then we won't accomplish what we're to accomplish in this service. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Every person here, close your eyes tight. I want you to say this prayer and mean it from your heart. You can say it quietly. You don't have to say it out loud. Just say it in your heart. Say, dear Lord, I yield my ears to you this evening. I want your Holy Spirit to speak to me. Let the preacher's voice and let the preaching fall upon my ears, and I surrender my ears to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Look back at me, if you will, please. Through history, people have needed things or devices to aid their ability to hear. They used to use, many years ago, a hearing horn. It would have been a long tubular thing, and they would have put one end in their ear, and someone could have talked into it, and it gave an echo, or it added a volume so someone could hear better. Of course, we use this PA system. Why? So that you can hear as I speak better. There was a man by the name of George Whitfield. I studied him when I was a younger preacher. George Whitfield was called the man with the golden voice. They said that George Whitfield could preach out of doors to crowds of 20,000 people. And they could hear him without a PA system. Now, there were techniques that he used. Why? Because he knew that the people had to hear if we were going to get anywhere during the preaching. He would stand above the crowd. He would stand with the wind coming into his back. Why? So that when the wind would pick up his voice, it would carry it. Instead of the wind blowing into his face, the wind would blow his voice away. He would position himself between a couple of natural barriers, maybe a big house and a part of a mountain. Why? So that those natural barriers, one to the right, one to the left, would capsulize, or it would encase the sound. So he's got the wind coming into his back, and he would throw his voice out, and he was such a powerful speaker with no PA. He could speak to 20,000 people and be heard. They could hear him with their ears. Oh, you have stereos and televisions, etc., and they have within them speakers and volume controls. And there are those, even in our congregation, who use hearing aids. I have some hearing aids up here. Two of them, they're flesh-colored. You stick them into your ear. They have little batteries. And then what happens is once you put them in, they will magnify sound. And to the person who I borrow these from, I just said they will magnify sound. So you can hear a little bit better. But that's what these hearing aids do. You put them in and they increase your ability to hear. You take them out and you go back to that decreased ability to hear. A person who's not hearing properly has a problem with their ears. Now, the problem is not the sound. The problem is not the speaker. The problem is the ears on which the sound is falling, or in which the sound is entering. For instance, and I'm not going to do this, I thought about it, we have some deaf folks that sit back here in the deaf section. Brother Ken Davis interprets in sign language what I say so those deaf people can understand. Now, as I speak, you hear me. The deaf person can't hear me. Now, the problem is not what's being spoken, but the problem is what is not being heard by them. So they needed that interpreter. Now remember, the problem's not my voice. The problem's not the message. The problem's not my volume. The problem is their ears. There's an awful lot of emphasis in Christianity put on the importance of a preacher having the power of God on his life. And rightfully so. I think the man of God should seek the power of God. I think the man of God should have the power of God on his preaching, and I think he ought to have it on his everyday life, not just to be some fancy orator, but in the way he lives what he preaches. And I agree with that. Many sermons have been preached through many years about preachers and teachers and speakers having God's power on them while they speak. A good preacher, I think, is constantly begging for God's power in the pulpit as he speaks. There are books and periodicals written to challenge preachers to be filled with the Spirit of God. There are classes in Bible colleges and that teach preachers about preaching in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Churches expect their pastor to have the power of God. Any church that's worth anything would. They would expect him to have the power of God. I hesitate to do it, but I'm going to. I received this nice letter. Dr. Don Smith pastored this church for 35 years before I came here. He was here in the service last Sunday morning and Sunday night. I woke up Monday morning and he had written this letter to me. It says, "Dear preacher, yesterday, which was last Sunday now, yesterday was a great day at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Both messages were right on target. On the way home from the morning service, we marveled at the fact that although the message was not one that would normally get people down the aisle for salvation because of the subject matter, there were still many salvation decisions. We concluded that it could only be that you have the power of God on you. We thank the Lord for you, preacher. We love you, Pastor Don and Joanne." Preachers are supposed to have the power of God on them. I pretty well think it's expected by any church that's right with God. Now, the churches that are not right with God give no credence to this, but it's expected. But let me ask you this. Is it possible the preacher could have God's power on his speaking, but the listener's ears are not working right?
Right.
You know, in these seven verses that we read earlier from the book of Revelation, we read the words, ear, and hear 14 times in seven verses. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Please notice that God has put a special emphasis on the hearer, not just the speaker. The hearer should be hearing in the Spirit, as the preacher is preaching in the Spirit. Many a pew setter requires the man of God to do his half of the work. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. But then the pew setter does not require themselves to do their half of the work. I know preachers that will run themselves in the ground trying to get the people to do what they ought to do, when it would get so much easier if the preacher was filled with the power of God and the pew was filled with the power of God and the voice preached with the power of God and the ears received with the power of God. Hey, you do your half, I do my half, we have a whole, we have revival. But the preacher has to work double hard if he has the power of God, but the person sitting in the pew does not. The Holy Spirit is likened unto hearing aids. The Holy Spirit could help you to hear the way you ought to hear the preaching in the Word of God. The hearing aid of the Holy Spirit increases the volume of God speaking to your heart. The hearing aid of the Holy Spirit purifies the clarity of the sound of God's voice as He enters your mind. I really would like for you to understand, the Holy Spirit of God is to anoint your ears just like it's to anoint my voice. And we work together to fulfill His purpose in every sermon preached. That's how it's supposed to be. The Holy Spirit becomes your hearing aids, just like these little hearing aids I have here. The Holy Spirit becomes your hearing aids. He aids you to hear in the Spirit as the Word of God is preached in the Spirit. And when you put those two together, they are unstoppable.
Amen.
Let me get a little more practical and break this down for you. Number one, there's a great truth that is missed on the day of Pentecost. Many of you remember we taught 40 plus sermons on a Wednesday night on the doctrines of the Bible. We spoke on the Holy Spirit some, a couple of different nights. But I want you to remember something. The Holy Spirit of God was given primarily for the purpose of soul winning. Many other things, but that's one of the primary purposes. Now, there's something that is missed when it comes to the teaching and the understanding of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, there is something that is missed about the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to read something to you. You don't have to turn to it. You listen, please, as I read. This comes from Acts chapter 2. It says this in verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, I don't want you to miss this. There is a truth here about the day of Pentecost that sometimes is passed over. You see, this was a time at the day of Pentecost. It was a time when the Holy Spirit of God moved in a very, very powerful way. Here's what was happening. There were people present from every nation under the sun, every nation in the world. They all spoke the language of their nation. So they all spoke different languages. God miraculously gave the apostles the ability to speak in foreign language so these people could understand. He wanted them to hear the gospel in their language. But note something, and so you know, not some weird language as the tongues of the Pentecostal or the charismatic says. No, the charismatic movement is wrong about that. It is very clear what the Bible teaches here. They heard in their own language. These were languages that were distinguishable. Now, obviously, if you'd never heard someone speak in African, and then you heard it for the very first time, it may sound like some sort of a gibberish, but the truth is, it was a language. And they did not have the good sense to know that language. God did, and the apostles did, and the person hearing it did. And so it was a known language that was being used. But here's the mistruth. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 6, the second half of the verse says this: every man heard them speak in his own language. Don't miss it. The emphasis of the Holy Spirit's influence is also on the listening here. It was not just on the speaking. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Notice again, we see emphasis on the hearing. How hear we? Hey, I believe not only were there Spirit-controlled voices, but there were Spirit-controlled ears because they were amazed at how they were hearing from the Spirit of God in their own language. Is it possible that the miracle of Pentecost was as much about Holy Spirit listening as it was Holy Spirit speaking? Indeed, I think so. You look at it over and over again as you see the story at the day of Pentecost. Not only did they speak and the Holy Spirit was on their speaking, they listened and the Holy Spirit was on their hearing. Here's something: the preacher can get up and preach himself hoarse, trying to convince people to do right. And he may be filled with the Spirit of God, but if the listener sits there and they're not going to yield to the Spirit of God, we're not going to get anywhere. Not going to get anywhere. Listen to Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Notice the Holy Ghost fell on those that heard the word. The word heard here actually is the word perceived, meaning the listener should have Holy Spirit perception. When we talk about ears, we're not just talking about these big floppy things that hang on the side of your face to hold your glasses up. When we're talking about hearing, we're talking about perception. In other words, you should yield your perception, and the opening process of perception is hearing, and that's where God starts the process. But if you will come to church having surrendered your perception or your hearing to the preaching, when the preacher preaches in the power of God, and you listen in the power of God, it's an unstoppable combination. You see, I must ask this question then. Are you a Spirit-filled listener? A Spirit-filled listener. Number one, there's a great truth on the day of Pentecost that many miss. What is that? I believe the Holy Spirit were affecting the ears or the perception, just like he was affecting or influencing the voice of the men that were preaching. Is that why you only get half of what's taught around here? I'm not trying to be unkind. Please don't take this as an attack or an unkind comment. There are some people, I wonder, what in the world are you doing? We can say, don't do that. It'll mess you up. It'll destroy you. Don't do that. And a day later, you're doing the very thing that this voice warned you not to do. And then I know, if I talked to you, you'd say, well, I didn't hear it that way. Right. In other words, you were not listening in the Spirit. Because the preacher preaches in the Spirit. And he uses the Word of God, which is anointed by the Spirit. The only remaining factor is your ears. It's funny how one gets it, somebody else sitting in the very same auditorium doesn't.
Right.
I mean, there are people, they can get into so much trouble around the church, can't get along with people fussing and fighting, and every time there's a problem, they're involved in it, and it's just like it zooms right over their head. They're not even getting it. Listen. Tune your ears. Come to church with your ears submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. And you won't miss what God had for you. Number two, you need to wake up your ears to their responsibility to be Spirit-filled and to be a Spirit-filled listener. Listen to this verse. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4, the Bible says this. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ears to hear as to learn. Here, the Bible says that Isaiah said, God, help me to wake up my ears so I can hear what's really going on. Some of you need your perception woken up. You need to realize some of the things being preached are for you. It's trying to keep you out of the mess. It's trying to keep your life on track. It's trying to keep you from heartache. It's trying to make you a success. But we don't perceive that so many times. We go out and we get into a mess. We go out and cause ourselves all sorts of grief. We look back and say, I guess I just didn't hear it. I didn't see it that way. The problem was there was not Holy Spirit perception while you were listening. So you need to wake up your ears. And this passage of Scripture talks about, Isaiah said, God help me to wake up my ears. Wake up my ears. Some of you need to wake up your ears. Your ears sleep with no Holy Spirit reception while the preacher's voice is wide awake and the Holy Spirit's power is in that voice. Wake up to this truth. This truth could change your life. Does the preacher have to work overtime on his preaching to keep your spiritual attention? Has he got to do your job and his job? This truth will do more to mature the Christians in this building than any other truth. Why? It will mature new converts. It will mature the older converts. You need the hearing aids of the Holy Spirit. I recommend to you that you, every time you hear preaching, make sure you are submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. Whoever's speaking can speak and speak and speak and speak and speak, but if it falls on deaf ears, you say, deaf? What do you mean? Not Spirit yielded ears. Not Spirit-filled ears. The Bible says there in the book of Revelation over and over again, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what? What the Spirit saith. You got to get your ears right with God. And now I'm not talking about gossip. I'm not talking about bad music. I'm talking about make sure your ears are submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. So, we said number one, a truth missed at the day of Pentecost. It was not just Spirit-filled voices. They were Spirit-filled ears. Number two, you need to wake up your ears and your perception to the importance of this truth. Number three, what would happen if God's people would plead for God's power on their listening as much as the preachers plead for God's power on their preaching?
Yeah.
What would happen? Listen, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 says this, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Now, understand something. Every person in this building ought to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You ought to listen to every sermon preached, and your ears ought to be submitted, and virtually I'm saying your ears need to be filled with the Spirit of God while you listen. Here it talks about sons being filled with the Spirit of God, and daughters being filled with the Spirit of God, and old men being filled with the Spirit of God, and young men, and servants, and handmaids. Wonder if you were as concerned with your responsibility of being a Spirit-filled listener as the preacher is concerned about being a Spirit-filled preacher. Hey, when was the last time you heard a preacher say, "I'll tell you what, you ought to come visit my church. My people are filled with the Spirit of God when they listen." Now, everybody would like to say, "You ought to come to the church." Hey, you should have been in that meeting with Carl Hatch. He had the Spirit of God on him. Well, we like to say, "Hey, you come to the church. Hey, you come hear the preaching. Hey, you come hear the choir. Hey, you come hear the Spirit-filled preaching in our church." Well, let me ask you, do you qualify for us to brag on the pew about being Spirit-filled in our listening? Wonder if you were as concerned with your responsibility of being Spirit-filled listener as the preacher is concerned about being a Spirit-filled preacher. As a listener, become consumed with the Holy Spirit filling. Just as much as, hey, you become as consumed with being a Spirit-filled listener as R.G. Lee was consumed with being a Spirit-filled preacher. You become as consumed with being a Spirit-filled listener as Jack Hiles was at being a Spirit-filled preacher. You become as consumed about being a Spirit-filled listener as Lester Roloff was with being a Spirit-filled preacher. You become as consumed about being a Spirit-filled listener as Charles Haddon Spurgeon was about being a Spirit-filled preacher. You become as consumed about being a Spirit-filled listener as J. Frank Norris was about being a Spirit-filled preacher. Hey, you become as concerned about being a Spirit-filled listener as Jesus Christ was at being a Spirit-filled speaker. You need to take your responsibility a little bit more seriously. We expect the preacher to take his responsibility pretty seriously. You know, you could double the power in a service if there was Spirit-filled pulpit and add to it Spirit-filled pew. Double the power in a service just like that. But everybody expects a preacher to bring his briefcase in, have it filled with the power of God, and make something happen. For some preachers, work themselves to death trying to get it done. It's a team effort, folks. It's a team effort. You need the hearing aids of the Holy Spirit of God. Number four. Now let me practically apply this truth. And so, you know, we're getting very close to the end. There are not a lot more points, so you hang in there. You know what you need to do? This is the practical application. Decide to become a Holy Spirit-filled listener from this night on out. Let's not let this be one of those where you come to church, you hear the sermon, you say that was good, and tomorrow you forget what was said. Next week, you couldn't even remember what was said. This kind of sermon, this will revolutionize the rest of your life if you'll just do this. I'll promise you. You will learn. You'll learn things from sermons that you never learned before. God will begin to work in your life like He has never worked before. Why? You have intensified the influence of the Spirit of God in your life. Hey, if I stand and preach and the power of God is moving, but your ears are not receiving it, you're not getting what you need. If you would decide from this night forth, I will enter every service, every time the preaching of the Word of God goes on, I will submit my heart and my ears to the Word of, or to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God before the service ever starts. I'm talking about something you do without me telling you to do it. Talking about when you come onto the property, why don't you, when you get you a habit of some sort, maybe when you park the car, stop for a moment and say, Spirit of God, I yield my ears to you. I want my ears to receive. I want to do my part. I've got to do my half for the service to be what it needs to be. Do you know something? This choir could sing in the Spirit of God. But you want to know what will really make choir music come alive? You sing in the power of God, and you listen in the power of God. And something, they sing in the power of God, and the kids don't realize it, but we got a batch of us kids that sit over here on a Sunday morning. They give us fits, and they're going to keep on coming and giving us fits because I love them, and we're going to grow them and nurture them. But let me tell you something. Do you think they sit over there and listen in the power of God? No, they get very little out of their music. Is it because their music is not anointed with the Holy Spirit of God? No, it is that their ears are not surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. And this service would come alive to those young people if they would submit their ears to the Holy Spirit and let the spirit of the music and the spirit that dwells within them in their ears, if those two would yoke up and become a unit, oh, what God could accomplish in those teenagers' lives. Hey, you decide that from now on, you will be a spirit-filled listener. You will yield your ears to the Spirit of God. Actually doing what I'm teaching. Or are you not even really listening tonight? Is it another one of those? I can't wait to get out of here. Yeah, I hate that for you. What a sad thing. Hey, listen, before you go to Sunday school, here's what you ought to do. Holy Spirit of God, I yield my ears to you. As my Sunday school teacher teaches today, I yield myself. I want to do my part. Now listen, your Sunday school teacher may have the power of God on them, but it's not going to do the good it needs to do if you don't have the Spirit of God working through your ears. You see, they speak and you listen, but are you deaf to it? Before you come to choir practice, choir, yield your voices and your ears to the Holy Spirit of God. Before you come to Sunday morning church, yield your ears to the Spirit of God. Before you go to King's Kids, young people, before you go to King's Kids, it would not hurt you to say, Spirit of God, work on me in King's Kids. I want to listen. I want to get something out of this. Before you go to Young Fundamentalist Teenager, before you walk in, mobile unit number 3 over there, why don't you, on your walk over, stop and say, Spirit of God, I'm giving you my ears. I want to hear. I want you to use the message to change my life. Before you come to Sunday night church, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Before you attend the Sunday school teachers and officers meeting on a Wednesday night, why don't you come yield it to the Spirit of God? Hey, somebody say, I tell you what, Brother Owen, the Spirit of God's really been working in my life, and I never even realized I was supposed to be yielding my ears to the Spirit. Then can you imagine if God's already working in your life in a powerful way, and you didn't even know you were supposed to do this? Can you imagine what's on the horizon? Can you imagine what's going to happen in your life and in your ministry? Can you imagine what's going to happen in your family? If you'll do your part.
Yes, sir.
Again, the average pew setter walked into the church expecting the pastor to be a one-man band and to try to figure out a way to move a mighty congregation. But he's only half responsible. Because there's not only voices, but there are ears. Before you come to any counseling session with me, can you want to do me a favor? Pray and say, Holy Spirit of God, while I meet with the man of God, I yield my perception to you. I can say to someone, I'll say, you're not listening to me. You know, I know their ears are working, but the perception is broken down somewhere in the back of their mind, and it's just, something's not working out. Listen, you'll get twice as much out of counseling sessions if you were just yielded to the Holy Spirit when you come in instead of telling me that, I know I'm right, I did it right, okay, it's all right. Wake up! Come yielded to the Spirit of God, and God will change your life. Hey, do everything you do in the Spirit of God. Fellowshipping around the church. Singing the congregational songs, the offering time, the preaching, the music, the soul winning. Picture the unstoppable power of this. A Spirit-filled preacher preaching Spirit-filled sermons to a Spirit-filled congregation who sings and listens in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. that's available. See, most churches don't even get Spirit-filled preaching. Can you imagine if we all pull together as a team? And I think we're a pretty good team around here. I think we all work together real well. But there are new heights to climb. There are other things that God will use this congregation to do. We're all sitting back in awe saying, I can't believe what's going on around here. It's amazing. I think God has some very big things for us to do, but it's going to take all of us. Every person under the sound of my voice, you're an important part of this church. You say, I hardly know anything about the Bible. Listen, you're going to learn. God's got you here for a reason. God's preparing you to be a part of the work. But we got to pull together. Spirit-filled ears. I'm going to give you one illustration, and then we're going to pray, and we'll go home. I went to a conference to preach. When I arrived on the church property, the host pastor came out to meet me, and we were fellowshipping a bit from his car going into the building where the meeting would be held. He handed me a 3x5 card, and on it he had 6 sermon titles written on it. They were my sermon titles. He said to me, kind of half jokingly, half serious, he said, Brother Owens, I'm glad to hear. Now, you could preach anything you want while you're here, but I'd recommend you not preach these 6 sermons here of yours because our people have already heard these 6 of your sermons because I preached them here. He said, so I thought I'd give you the heads up on these 6 because they've heard them. I said, that's fine. I was a bit flattered. Then I told him this. I said, believe me, if I preached them, they would not recognize them because I know how bad a preacher you are. He laughed. I did not preach them, but listen to this. He had preached 6 of my sermons at his church. A man in his church happened to be earlier that day listening on tape to his pastor preach one of my sermons. The man did not know that. Remember, this is a man that was a member of his church. He had been listening to his preacher preach a sermon. That man had no idea it was my sermon. But the man said to me, he said, Brother Owens, can I let you listen to something for a second? So he said, could you listen to this sermon for a second and tell me what the preacher means right here? I said, yeah, I think I probably could explain to you what he's saying there. So I listened. I said, well, he's saying this and this and this. And I helped him understand the truth that was being preached. You see, that man submitted his ears and understanding to me. And I became his hearing aid. I aided his perception. And I made clear the truth that his man of God was preaching. Now, how could I do that? It was my sermon that the guy was listening to, but he didn't know it. Now listen. I go to the Holy Spirit of God and steal his sermons. I try to do that every service. I go get his sermons and I preach them and you listen to them. If you will yield your ears and understanding to the original author, he can help the truth you're hearing come through loud and clear.
Yes. Amen.
I get my sermons from him. And if you will say, hey, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. Can you help me to understand what's being said? And the Holy Spirit will say, sure I can. That's my sermon. Let me explain to you what's going on here. Yielding the ears to the Holy Spirit so that when the preaching comes, you take the power of the spoken word, place it inside your ears, which lead to your perception. Those two ingredients added together, unstoppable. Your life will improve for the better so quick you won't understand it. You'll begin hearing things. You begin finding out things about yourself that up until now you've rejected. Over and over and over again, it said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. these hearing aids. They will magnify sound. There's nothing wrong with the voice. There's nothing wrong with the truth. There's something wrong with the ears, but the aid placed in the ear magnifies the voice. And if you will allow the Holy Spirit of God to become your hearing aid, He will magnify in your heart, in your perception, in your hearing, He will magnify the things of God. So you're not only hearing, but you're hearing